The New York Times reported this week that the man charged in the New York truck attack had ISIS phrases such as "it will endure" on paper and cell phones found at the scene. In 2016, an ISIS magazine instructed truck attackers to leave those kinds of messages. And this week, an ISIS newsletter claimed the Manhattan attacker was a soldier. But did he communicate with the group or just read its magazine? And how has ISIS's vast communication network changed after its de facto capital, Raqqa, in Syria, was taken back by American-backed forces last month? Mina Alami studies jihadi media at BBC Monitoring, which monitors media. Mina, what have you seen?
Well, we have noticed a significant drop in ISIS media output since the fall of Raqqa. And we're talking about, you know, from an average of 20 to 30 unique media items per day through ISIS's official channels on Telegram, down to 10 or less items per day.
What do you think that means?
Well, I think one thing is that a significant part of ISIS's media operation was actually based in Raqqa. We were never sure, of course, that was kind of the indication that it was based there, as well as possibly in Mosul in Iraq. But I think with the fall of Raqqa, we found, for example, that two of ISIS's flagship products have disappeared. First and foremost is its radio station called Al Bayan, and that was based, it used to transmit from Mosul in Iraq and Raqqa in Syria. In order to have wider reach, IS used to offer its radio broadcast as podcasts in multiple languages, including in English and Russian and French. This was a key feature of its daily propaganda that has been going since April 2015. And since the 25th of October, these broadcasts, these podcasts stopped.
Well, you sent us a podcast episode from IS's station, Al Bayan. Let's listen to some of it.
In East Asia, the soldiers of the Khilafah killed three soldiers of the Crusader Filipino Army during clashes in the neighborhood of Baling, and also sniped and killed a fourth crusader in the neighborhood of Marionette in the city of Marawi.
So, Mina, what's going on here? Is it just a laundry list?
So what we were listening to was an IS, alleged IS presenter reading out news of the past 24 hours. And he's talking about the various IS's so-called provinces. And these are openly available on the messaging app Telegram. So they're not in some kind of dark web part of the internet. They are not very difficult to access. Actually, IS, so the majority of its operation lives on the messaging app Telegram. A lot of these, what they call channels, or they're basically accounts on Telegram, are public, so they're open to anyone who wants to access them. Of course, there are a lot of efforts from Telegram and all these social media companies to suspend these accounts, but they just keep on re-emerging.
Does it really matter that there aren't new missives? As you said, it's down from like 30 to maybe 10 a day. If there's so much out there, we spoke of the accused truck attacker in New York, his cell phone filled with videos. Those videos are already out there.
Absolutely. And I think one of the kind of the key mission of the, you know, the army of IS supporters online is actually to amplify that message. Yes, their accounts get suspended eventually, but that's it. The message is out there.
Well, what happened to, for instance, the official magazine or official comments? We know that ISIS was a little slow in claiming the attack in New York. Was that because maybe some of their communication is also cut off?
I don't think the late claim for the New York truck attack was anything to do with the interruption of its media operation. The central media, as well as its so-called news agency, Amaq, they're still active. They're still putting out material. The thing is that IS typically doesn't claim attacks when the perpetrator is arrested, when he's caught alive, basically, simply because in that case, they might either harm the person even more by claiming, you know, association, or the, you know, the suspect could then, you know, turn around and deny any knowledge or can contradict the IS claim. However, my opinion personally, in this instance, they waited for news to trickle from mainstream media. Now, the suspect continued, even after his arrest, continued to kind of show some kind of loyalty or allegiance to IS. So I think with that, it was kind of like a sign to IS, say, okay, we're not going to harm him even further, so we need to claim this. However, it's worth mentioning that the claim did not come out through its central channels on Telegram. Instead, they featured it lower down in its weekly magazine, An-Naba. And I think that's kind of, they try to get around the delay, the hesitance, by saying, well, An-Naba, the magazine, it's a roundup anyway of events of the week, so that's fine to feature it there.
However, there was another magazine, Rumia, that hasn't been published. The first time that skipped a publication.
Absolutely. And this is, you know, this is crucial because the core of Rumia is, you know, to incite attacks, lone actor attacks in the West. And its October edition did not materialize. The group hasn't said anything about the absence there, nor have its supporters.
What's your take on what happens because some of these communications have been reduced?
I think, first of all, I mean, it does seem to be a clear kind of effect from losing Raqqa before Mosul. Now it's kind of reports today that they've lost the city of Deir ez-Zor. So no doubt this will have an impact on their media operation. However, I think that this does not definitely spell the demise of IS's media operation. If anything, as it's losing territory, it actually needs to stay alive and alive through that media operation.
Mina Alami of BBC Monitoring, they analyze communications around the world. Mina, thanks as always.
My pleasure.